Your relationship with your body is the longest relationship you will ever be in. You must have unconditional permission to eat in order to make peace with food. What is your self-talk like about your body? If you wouldn't say that to a loved one about their body, what makes it okay to say it to yourself? This is a safe virtual space where we are going to dig into deep heart-to-heart combos that all come back to our relationships with food and body. Welcome back to another episode of the Fine Food Freedom Podcast. This is your host, Sam Previtt, and I am so excited that you are here. I can't believe it's December. Here we are. The jingle bells are going. It's a winter wonderland, whatever you want to say. It's crazy. It is crazy, crazy, crazy that it is December. But today is one of my favorite episodes. Every month we do a client testimonial where I get to sit down one-on-one with one of our clients, one of our incredible clients. And today I get to sit down with our client, Sarah, who has worked with our practice for over 3 years now. Incredible. She's worked with us one-on-one. She did our group coaching program, and now she's back to one-on-one with Julie, who's our registered dietitian supervisor. And she just has such a beautiful soul. She's so vulnerable and shares so much about her journey with food and body. And we also get into how the holidays are so different now, because she had so many years of her life where she was experiencing the holidays and any social event, birthday, celebratory event in diet culture. But now, how different those holidays and events are when you can be present and enjoy the present moment instead of hyperfixating on food and body image and all of the things. So I'm going to skip our Fine Food Freedom win of the week, because this entire episode is a massive win. We get emotional on today's call. Just an incredible human, an incredible client. I am so, so grateful to have had her time and to hear her story. And so if you connect with this story, please, 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 I invite you to get your insurance benefits checked. Click the link in the show notes below. Check those insurance benefits. We work with Cigna, Aetna, United, BCBS, Anthem. We're licensed in over 24 states. We have incredible providers all over the nation. And so the chances are you have some sort of insurance coverage with us. And if you do not, if you don't have insurance benefits, we will gift you 1 month of the Fine Food Freedom membership completely free, no questions asked. We want you to get the support that you want and need. And what a better time, with January's right around the corner, and y'all know that diet culture gets real loud come January, new year, new you bullshit. This is a great time to get support. I think so many people shy away from professional support because it's like, oh, I need to get through the holidays. It's crazy. But the amount of triggers right now with social events and food and just everything, we are here for you. You do not have to go through this alone. So please get your insurance benefits checked. And without further ado, please enjoy this comforting episode that just feels like a big warm hug with our client, Sarah. All right, Sarah, so I want to get started with a very basic question, but how, you know, you've been with us for a while, a long time, actually. Let's set the scene first. You've been with us since November of 2022. So you're like OG Fine Food Freedom, which I love.
Yeah.
So do you remember how you heard about Fine Food Freedom, where you found us, and what made you say, you know what, I want to reach out and I want to get started with some professional support?
Well, I found Fine Food Freedom just through Instagram, just one of your reels, and talking about, like, do you want to basically have food freedom? Like, ditch the diet culture. Do you want to eat without guilt and all the different things? And I saw it for a few months, I want to say 6 months. And then finally, I had been seeing a therapist before this, and I had initially went to this therapist because I couldn't figure out why I couldn't stay on a diet. That just, like, tells you how ingrained diet culture is, right? It's a you problem and not the diet culture problem. because my whole life, from the age of 10 years old, I was basically dieting, like with my mom to begin with, and then through my 20s, and then after having like two babies, and it just, it was a lot. So it was like, why can't I stay on a diet? There has to be something wrong with me that all these other people are losing weight and feeling good about themselves, and I am like stuck in this rut of yo-yo dieting. Dieting, losing the weight, gaining it, plus a lot back, being completely miserable, food noise was constant. And so it was just like, I need to do something different. And so I went to the therapist. We talked for about a year, and then I was like, I need more than just, like, she was great, but it's kind of like, I need something more like specific to what's going on. And so that's when I was seeing your reels for about 6 months. And I talked to my husband, and when I joined, it was like a big financial commitment mm-hmm. before like insurance and stuff, but it was like, it is worth it. This mm-hmm. is 100% worth it. So I started one-on-ones with Julie for 3 months, and then I did 3 months of group. So mm-hmm. that's kind of like where we all started from this whole thing. So
yeah. Well, yeah. You are a testament to why I am grateful for social media, because it connects us with people like yourself. And so now with the form of support you're getting, we accept your insurance now, right? So right. Your form of one-on-one support is covered, correct?
Covered, 100% covered, which is so great. Oh. So great. Yeah.
That makes me so happy. And yeah. That's where, yeah, we just got to a point where I've always said, like, I want to help as many people as possible. And I'm like, well, we can't do that without accepting insurance. You know, like right. I go to network providers. So we found a way to make it happen. And I'm so happy to hear that you have that coverage now, and we can continue that support together. And here we are 3 years later, still working yeah. together, which is yeah. incredible. So yeah. you work with Julie, she's also an OG provider of Fine Food Freedom. She has been with me through it all. Gosh, I forget how long she's been with us now. It has to be 7 years. She's through it all. So I would love to hear. I know. I would love to hear from you. Now, you had a good idea, like you said, because you followed our socials. So you kind of had a good idea of what Fine Food Freedom was about. But I would love to hear, what did you expect the support to look like working with an intuitive eating dietitian? And then what is the support that you're getting? Did it match your expectations, exceed them? Any picture you want to paint for listeners?
Well, I feel like when meeting with somebody one-on-one is a huge thing, right? It's more than just like going online and taking like a class where you're just like, you're not faceless, but you are. Mm-hmm. Meeting one-on-one with Julie, I mean, it was like life-changing, right? She could give me like the tough love I need, being like, Sarah, why does that matter? Or like, that's stupid. I would
being like, what the fuck?
You know, and so, I mean, I credit I Fine Food Freedom, but Julie too. It was so great. She's went above and beyond. And I feel like if I could just see her in person, I would give her like the biggest love, because I met with her for 3 months in person once a week. And I think it was like an hour each time. And in the beginning, it was just like working through some things, you know, but as it progressed, it was like, this is about like 1% about eating food and 99% about like your mental space, ditching diet culture, accepting your body neutrality, not even body positivity, body neutrality. And I don't know, it just, and bouncing those ideas off of her or the things. And she's like, that isn't aligning like with the goals that you want, you know, just talking to her through it all was huge, huge. So, and then I did group for a little bit, which was like 3 or 4 people in the group. Because as you probably know, intuitive eating is very lonely.
Yep.
When you're a woman and people aren't going through it with you, and all women want to chat about is their bodies, what diets are going on, how much they hate their bodies, what they want to change about them. And so it's very lonely. So by meeting Julie, knowing that you're not alone, and then also group was great too. So yeah. And then not, I, when you're like going out in the world and you're kind of like mentioning to people, oh yeah, I do intuitive eating. Like, I'm not dieting. I don't want to talk about my body or dieting or anything. They're like looking at you really weird. But when you're talking with your counselor, you're like, okay, I'm not weird. I haven't let myself go. I'm actually like improving myself. Right. So yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So many amazing things you said there. I'm like frivolously taking notes. So I love how you said like, it's 1% about food and then it's everything else. And I love when clients say that, because once you unpack your relationship with food and start to make peace with it, it's like, oh, it wasn't about the food.
Never about the food.
Right. And that's a crazy thing, because it's intuitive eating. We are dietitians. So people, and yes, of course we talk about food, and food is a part of the conversation. And then I'm also glad you brought up the community aspect. And for anybody listening right now, in the show notes, we have a link that gives people 3 months free to our membership. And Julie actually leads those group calls a month. So for anybody listening who's looking for that community, we have that as well. So I'm so glad you pointed that out. But I want to highlight here, and I think this is going to be really cool for you, because again, you filled your paperwork out so long ago that you're probably like, who is that person? Like, that's not me anymore. So I forgot to ask you before I clicked record, but I have your paperwork pulled up, and I want to ask if I have your permission to go through. There's two questions on here. One says, like, describe your relationship with food, and describe your relationship with your body. So on both of those, we had you check pleasant, neutral, or unpleasant, and then describe why. So what I would love to do with you is read to you what you wrote almost 3 years ago. And then I would love for you to just like live respond of anything that's coming up for you, what you're thinking about, if that still feels true, anything that you want to share. Okay. So for how would you describe your relationship with food? We had checked at the time unpleasant. And when explaining why, you wrote, I still feel guilt when eating certain things, or if I overeat, or I feel like I have no control over myself. I think about food more often than not, and it's exhausting.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I literally get a little teary eyed thinking back to that, because it's clearly, and Julie and I have discuss this in length, is it's a roller coaster, right? Like, I went into this, and it's kind of like when you go into dieting, 3 months, they guarantee you're going to lose all the weight, have the beach bod you want, all the things, right? And so going into intuitive eating without realizing it, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go into this, and it's going to be 3 months, and I will be cured, no more food noise, I'll love my body, all the things. And it's not. It's like a continuous journey that you have to keep working on and working on. And it's a roller coaster, right? And through all the work we've done, just recognizing triggers that bring up the quote unquote bad days when I'm not loving my body, or I'm unconsciously feeling guilt around food, that there's usually something else going on, some other stressor going on. Like Julie said, when you have a bad body day, there's usually something else going on in your life. Or when you're feeling guilt around food, what else is actually going on like behind the scenes that you kind of have to dig a little deeper, right? So it's not just like 3 months, you're going to be great. It's like you really have to dig deep internally and heal a whole bunch of inner child stuff, inner self stuff that you didn't realize was there, right? And so a little backstory, when I met with Julie for the first 3 months one-on-one and then group, after the end of that 6 months, I'm like, man, I'm feeling so good. Like, I wasn't body positive, but I was body neutral. I could actually like look at myself in the mirror and like not be completely like have like a visceral reaction to it. I could eat food and not feel like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this, you know. I could eat food, no guilt, no food noise. And then I want to say six or a few months after I stopped seeing Julie and I was just doing like online stuff, I found out I was like pregnant. And so, but this was after I was pregnant, after I had already had my tubes tied. And it was like a whole thing, right? So the doctor tied my tubes, but like he didn't actually like tie them effectively. And so I ended up pregnant, right? And I did not want to be pregnant. I was happy in the body I was in. Mm-hmm. I was happy with my boy and my girl, like all the things. So I requested my chart and I was reading through the doctor's notes on like, what the freak happened? Why am I pregnant right now? You know? And he basically blamed like the difficulty with surgery due to my like body size, like due to my, basically my BMI. That like sent me into a huge tailspin, a huge tailspin. So here I'm dealing with like this pregnancy, right? I found out after my first trimester was already over, like 14 weeks. And then I have to deal with like this other like added layer on that. It's like my body's fault, why I couldn't actually get my tubes tied or get the medical care that I needed or deserved. Like, look, I deserve to have that, right?
Yep.
And so I know you've talked a lot about this, and Julie has too, about just like medical care and the bias that there is towards, you know, people that are not in straight size bodies. And so then I went through my whole pregnancy, and you know, you have to get weighed every week. That was also very triggering. But the one difference with this pregnancy versus my last two was I've talked to Julie about this, and I've talked to my husband about this. When I used to get weighed with them, I knew I'd have to get weighed so I wouldn't eat in the morning or all day up until I had to get weighed. And I was pregnant. That is not good. And that's just diet culture, right? Like being like, oh my gosh, that number is going to go up. The doctor's going to mention it. Like your value is based on that number. So with this pregnancy, I'm like, I'm not going to look at my weight. I don't want to know my weight. Unless it becomes like an issue, I don't want you to speak to me about it. And I told her, you know, my doctor was great. She was great. But then after that, it was like, I need to go back to Julie. Like this, I mean, I didn't digress all the way. I like to say that Julie literally saved my life, because I don't even know how I would have handled that mentally if I would have gone through the 6 months of intuitive eating without that and without her giving me tools to like get through the rest of my pregnancy, and then having like a sweet baby girl who's the best now. But then I went and I saw a different counselor, and then she moved. And so then I started seeing Julie again, and it was just like, told her all the things, and she was like, okay, we're going to work back through this. Like we've got this, you know? And so, yeah, it's a long journey. It's a long journey, and things set you back, and you just got to like pick yourself back up and realize like, what is my goal here? My goal is to live happily without having the food noise, without hating my body, with feeling good in my body. And also I have two daughters now that I will never, never subject them to diet culture or changing their bodies when they're still little, like my mom did to me. And even though I have a great relationship with my mom, I love my mom, but I, you know, so I had to heal myself before I could be a good mom in that way to my daughters. So I don't know if that, I know that was like a long roundabout way of going back to your question, but
it was
Fine Food Freedom has literally saved my life. Saved my life. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Sarah, for sharing everything. And I was getting teary-eyed when you said Julie saved my life, because I'm just picturing Julie listening to this, because she's had a few of her clients do these, and she'll just like send me a voice memo. She like goes for a walk and listens and is just like bawling while she's listening to them. Yeah. And I know that she's going to do that. So it like makes me emotional. Yeah. So thank you for sharing all that. And I think it's such a beautiful testament to like our relationship with food, and more importantly, our body, but both is a relationship we will be in for the rest of our lives. And it is going to ebb and flow and change just like every relationship we're in. Right. And I love that you brought up the point that like coming from diet culture, thinking that the intuitive eating journey was going to be like, okay, like 10 step, just check a box and then I'll have food freedom and then life will be perfect and blah, blah, blah. And it's like what you have been through, what we all go through different things in life that is going to change and impact our relationship with food and body. And it's learning to have those tools of how to navigate through that. It's not about having that air quotes, perfect relationship with food or body. And so I'm so happy you brought that up, because I think that's a huge part of the counseling process alone, is just level setting expectations. And like you said, it's not even about body positivity. Can I be neutral in my body? Can I wake up and not be so obsessed with body thoughts that I can be present? Like, what a win that is, right?
Right.
So I thank you so much for sharing that. So now today, if I were to hand you this paperwork, what feels most true for you? If I said, how would you describe your relationship with food? Unpleasant, neutral, or pleasant? What would you check today?
I would say neutral to pleasant. Yeah.
Incredible.
And it's completely eye-opening when, you know, you learn that, like, you can actually take joy in food. You grow up through diet culture and food is basically the enemy, and you have to eat a rice cake to be happy and to be in a thinner body. Humans are meant to take joy out of food. Yeah. Food is good, and it can be healing, and it can be joyful, and it's social. And to deprive yourself of that your whole life, it's not going to matter in the end when we're 80 years old and we all have broken down bodies, you know, like nobody's going to give a crap. You're going to remember going to Christmas dinner and enjoying your family and enjoying cooking with your mom and your grandma and all the things, instead of just being like, well, I can't eat that, or being miserable and having the food noise the whole time.
Yes.
Or like I would do over the holidays is I would binge to the point I was so sick. And so it was not even enjoyable. And so now it's like you go, you have your plate of food and you're done. And you feel satisfied. And it's more about not the food. It's more about the people you're with and your experiences and your interactions and all of that. Right. Yeah. Going through this, you learn that like food is the tiny factor, and it helps you just navigate everything else and enjoy everything else. Right. Yeah.
Mm. I love those examples you just gave. They were so, so rich. And I think I can relate so much of what you said of if we're talking specifically about holidays, or it could be birthdays, right? Any like event.
Any where event, yeah.
Food obviously is an integral part of celebration. And so thinking about like past holiday events, how you were like, I would binge, I would feel physically unpleasant, which would a lot of times in diet culture then triggers the emotional unpleasantness of,
yes,
I'm such a bad person. How could I do this? I'm so disgusting. And then sure, we're physically present at the event, but mentally and emotionally, we're so far gone. And
so far gone.
Enjoying, like you said, the people, the memories, the traditions. And so I love the imagery that you gave there, because now, for example, you used Christmas, like Christmas morning with your kids now and your family, what do you feel and experience?
Oh yeah. Like you're there with your, usually it would have been like leading up to the holidays, constantly thinking about like what we're going to make, what we're going to eat, and then like doing good before the holidays so you could not feel guilty about completely like going overboard on everything, you know, but you were restricting. So your body is automatically going to like slingshot the other way and like want to go, you know, way too far past fullness. But now it's just like, okay, asking our kids, like, what do you guys want for Christmas? Like, what do we want to eat? Like, what do we want to enjoy? And it's like more of an afterthought and not the center of it all, you know?
Yes.
So yeah. And not feeling and being present in your body and being like, okay, my body feels good. Like that's enough for me to eat, or that actually sounds good to make, to eat. And I don't know. It's life changing. Like when you actually think about it and think about how much, if you're in it and you are wondering if it's worth it, it's totally worth it. It's like a weight lifted off your shoulders. You can like see clearly now. Yes. Instead of waking up very first thing in the morning and thinking about, I used to think in diet culture, every single meal, first thing in the morning that I was going to make, every single snack. And then my mind would be hyper fixated on it until I could have it. And then I was never satisfied until like the net, you know, and then it's just this vicious cycle. And then the scale would never be going down. And so it's just like this and then you're restricting more. Oh my gosh, I get a pit in my stomach even talking about it. I guess, like, I can't believe I even did that for so many years, you know? And I was just a complete afterthought. Yeah. It's more about everybody else, you know, and us as a family and the whole thing. So,
yeah, you can be present and remember the look on your kiddos' faces versus how many calories am I eating? What are we eating? What am I having? Can I have this? Da-da-da-da. Like all that noise evaporates.
Or I need a binge right now because on Monday I have to like go back on the diet.
Yes. After the holiday is over, I can't enjoy this. I have so many, specifically Thanksgivings. I have a lot of memories of just like binging, like not eating all day to air quotes be good, right? And then being like, I'm not going to eat any carbs tonight. And then I would eat so much to the point where I'd feel so physically ill because once I would start eating, I'd be like, fuck it. All right, tomorrow I'm not eating XYZ. And I just, yeah, it's just this cycle that never ends. And so but until you're a cycle breaker and you recognize it, and it's, again, like you said, it's life-changing. Changes every aspect. Life-changing. Love it.
Life-changing, yeah.
So on your paperwork 3 years ago, we have that same question of how would you describe your relationship with your body? And you had checked unpleasant. And when explaining why, you wrote, I have always disliked my body, even when I was at my lowest weight. It's physically cringy to look at myself in the mirror. So how would you respond to that today, or what's coming up for you?
Yeah, I am neutral most days. Mm-hmm. I feel like through this whole intuitive eating thing, the for me, myself, my personal experience, the body has like been the hardest to navigate, right? So my last appointment with Julie, we talked about how you have a body grief. You have grief over the body that you always thought you were going to have or wanted to have in diet culture. And when you're not like typically in a straight size body, which I'm not, you sometimes like have body grief over like, I'm kind of sad that this is not easier for me. Like, so for instance, looking at like a lawn chair, like in the summer and being like, if I sit in that, is it going to like hold me 100%? You know? And so you have those like thoughts, but then you realize, I mean, there's all this other good stuff that comes with it. And what is the alternative? I'm not going to try and change my body or go on a diet again. Like, we're not going down that road. So it's more of like accepting the body you're in and making sure that you're, we've talked a lot about self-care too. You're taking care of yourself, right? Body respect, not even just body love. You have to have respect for your body. Right. So yeah, I would say most days neutral. Some days it's more of a roller coaster, but I've, like we've talked about, it's not the end, right? You're constantly having to work on it and move through emotions and how you feel. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Sarah, for sharing that. And I think one thing to think about too, for anyone listening, is like, we live in this society that throws the thin ideal in our face everywhere, right? Like we are in the Ozempic era, if you will.
Oh my gosh.
And it is just constant trigger over trigger over trigger over trigger. And the work that you're doing, it's incredible. To be neutral, to be at a place of neutrality most days, like that is such incredible. It's a testament to the incredible work that you're doing. And I'm just so grateful that you were vulnerable to share, like, some days it's really fucking hard and some days I am grieving. And like, that's normal, right? That's being a human. And thank you for sharing too, you know, the details of, you know, existing in the body that you do. Like, we live in a society that makes it harder if we are not in a straight size body for something as simple as, like you said, a chair, whether it be on an airplane, in a medical office, on a roller coaster, you name it. And that is an issue with our society, not your body. And I just want to validate, it makes sense when those thoughts come up to turn it back in on the body but to be able to catch that and work through that and grieve that and all of the things that you said. It's just, it's incredible and such a testament to the work that you're doing. And it's going to have not only an impact on your life, but the lives of the littles that you're raising and
oh yeah,
they're seeing.
Well, I was, I had, so we went back to school shopping just like a month ago. My oldest daughter is almost 8. And so, and she, so I'm 5'10", my husband's 6'4". And so she's already taller than everybody in her class. She's built very similar to me, like how I was when I was little. And, but when I was little, it was like, I never remember a time that like I, even when I was little, loved my body, or I wasn't going on a diet with my mom, or clothes weren't uncomfortable. And so I have made it my like life's mission to make sure my daughter feels good in her clothes. I don't care what size they are. And she can do all the things, and it's not coming from me. Like, she's already going to get it enough, like you said, from the outside world. She does not need it in our home. And so we were back to school clothes shopping, and like I grabbed, she's at the stage where we have to try things on now. I can't just grab a size and go home with it. And so we went in the changing room and we're trying on these jeans that technically were hers. She has multiple sizes of these pants, but this size wasn't fitting her. And so there was part of me, like when we went to go do them up and they were too tight, I was like, it didn't trigger me necessarily, but I like kind of like had to take a breath. And I was like, oh, sis, like this doesn't fit you. I'll just go out and get another size in these exact same pants. So I like left her in the changing room. I went and grabbed the different pants. We put them on her. They fit around her waist. But then we like had a laugh because they were like so baggy and they didn't fit her other parts of her body. And she didn't feel good in them. And I'm like, well, these pants like don't work. You don't feel good in them. They look silly on you. So we'll just put them off to the side. And we just walked out of the changing room. We had pants that fit her. I ordered the other ones that online that they didn't have. And we just like went about our merry way. Like when I was little, that would have been like, these pants don't fit you. Like we need to go home and we're going to start eating better. And there would have been like no alternative to getting different pants that fit me. It would have been like, we need to go on a diet now, you know? And so that was just like a tiny snippet that you don't realize in the changing room of Target that is completely going to like change like the trajectory of her life, but also like realizing how healed I am now too, you know? Yeah.
Incredible job, mama. That's you are a cycle breaker, and that is hard shit. And like you said, like saying it out loud, it's like, it feels so simple. It's like, oh yeah, well just go get another size. But like, you know what the alternative was as a child, that like your body was, the blame was placed on your body needs to change. And now you're like, no, like we buy clothes to fit your body. We don't change your body to fit the clothes. And that's, it's massive. It's massive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's so much good stuff here. I could talk to you forever, Sarah. So, I mean, this one we've talked about in different ways, but I do like to end and ask everyone this. So feel free to go whichever way you want. And we've already chatted about some of it, but how has your life changed after working with our team throughout the years?
I mean, it's night and day difference, right? Like, I don't even know where I would be if I would have kept on the cycle that I was in, probably miserable and probably still in the same size body. I don't think people realize when they start intuitive eating, or if you're thinking about it, that your body actually doesn't like change that much. People are like, I'm going to gain all this weight if I have unlimited access to food and I'm going to be letting myself go. That is not 100% not the case. I have not changed pant sizes. Not that it matters, but like, I have not changed anything about my body. It's been mentally in such a happier place, and the weight, just like the heavy burden and the weight is gone of worrying about
the metaphorical weight on our shoulders, right?
The medical weight.
People might hear that and be like, wait, what?
No pun intended. No, the weight, like just the heavy weight and is off your shoulders. Like when, and you do not realize how much mental energy you are expending on food noise and around food until you don't have to do it anymore.
Yeah.
Seriously, you don't realize until you don't have to think about it anymore. And you're like, oh, I guess it's lunchtime. My body's hungry. Let's go find what's for lunch. Instead of at 6 a.m. when you wake up thinking what I'm going to do for lunch, before you've even had breakfast, you know? or feeling guilty, the morality around food, oh my gosh, that also takes a heavy toll on you, you know? So just letting that go. And I know how much has changed my life. It has also changed my kids' lives, and which I could cry and talk about them all day, that I don't have to, they don't have to do this with me. They see their mom in her bathing suit at the lake and it doesn't matter. They see me running in the backyard playing soccer with them. They see me still being a good mom and the body size that I'm in. And I think that they're going to like look back on that and be grateful too, or they're going to live their lives that way and not be scared to do that. You know, I don't know. So
it's incredible.
It's been, yeah, like I said, I will hold to it and my husband will hold to it. Fine Food Freedom and intuitive eating has saved my life. Yeah.
It's so incredible.
And that's to hear. Sounds dramatic, but it is true. 100%. And Julie is the bee's knees. She's the best.
She's incredible. Yeah. Absolutely incredible. And thank you for sharing everything that you did. And as we close out, if a friend, loved one, colleague, someone came to you and said, okay, Sarah, I'm thinking of working with Fine Food Freedom, what would you say to them and why?
Oh my gosh, please do it. Especially now that insurance pays for it. Most insurances pay for it, I'm guessing. Just there's no reason not to anymore, you know? And it is freeing. Do it. What can it hurt not to do it? You take like a few months off from your dieting that it's making you miserable. Just, you know, I don't know. It can't hurt just to try. And then like me, you're here 3 years later and you haven't made it all the way through, but we're doing good. So
you're doing incredible. And like you said earlier, or like we've talked about, like there is, this isn't a stop, like a start, stop, black, white, you know, like finish line type of journey. It's forever changing. It ebbs and flows, and it's learning how to build that self-compassion, that self-respect. And it's so clear that you're well on the way to already doing that. And that's going to carry you through with whatever life comes at you. And we're so honored to support you through this journey. So thank you for sharing your story with our
community. And Sam, one thing I did want to add too is I don't think people realize like that intuitive eating is, I mean, clearly like you're teaching it through Fine Food Freedom, but it's like basic science and biology, right? That our bodies aren't meant to diet. They're not meant to restrict. That was completely eye-opening for me too. It's like, this isn't my fault that I can't stick on a diet. It's basic biology that we're not meant to. Like if you have to restrict yourself down into the tiniest body, that's not the body you're meant to be in. Right? Yeah. Facts. So that was eye-changing. Yeah.
Spitting straight facts over there, Sarah.
Yeah.
And it's because we're in this society where it's so normalized, right? And it's celebrated, the restriction and the deprivation. And it's like, no. Restriction fuels binging. It's the number one indicator of binging. Our bodies want to be adequately fed. And learning how to trust them. I say again, because we all have the ability to trust our body, but somewhere along the way we lose it, whether it be dieting, you know, things we've learned, family members, what they've taught us, I mean, so on and so forth. So it's learning how to trust ourselves again. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Every single time you listen to an episode, it truly makes our dreams come true, helping people make peace with food, body, and movement. If you have not already, please make sure to head over to social media and give us a follow at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. And if you resonated with today's episode and want more professional support,
please head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com. This is where you can get your benefits checked to see if your health insurance will fully cover that one-on-one nutrition counseling with our team. And we also have so many other virtual resources there. So again, that's findfoodfreedomresources.com for all things Find Food Freedom and to get those health insurance benefits checked. If you have not already, I invite you to rate, review, subscribe, like, share this podcast with anybody that you think needs to hear it. The more that you share this podcast, the more that this message of intuitive eating and food freedom will be out in the world, which we so desperately need. Again, thank you for being here. I cannot wait to chat with you again soon on the next episode of the Find Food Freedom podcast.